This morning, we're talking about following. I'm kind of interested. What kind of kid were you? When it came to following the wishes of your parents, how'd that go? What were you, somebody who was like, oh man, I don't want to do that? Or were you somebody who just like, when parents came around, it was like Saturday chores, you were gone. You were like absent for some reason. Or were you just like, you saw your parents there, Saturday chores, and you were like lined up. What can I do for you, Mom? How can I help you, Dad? Can I mow a lawn? Can I do some dusting, some vacuuming? I'm interested in your responses. So why don't you, we're going to take just a minute, 30 seconds each, turn to the person next to you, talk to each other about how you responded to the wishes of your parents. Go. Oh, I heard it went from high sound to low, and then, okay, that's the moment. You just want to be a fly on the wall. I didn't give you too many details. How old did you picture yourself? Which parent did you picture yourself responding to? I myself pictured myself about, 15, 16, and Mom coming to me and going, this sink is not very clean. Try it again. It's amazing how hard jobs are when you do them half-heartedly. I was just thinking I don't remember responding about how I was asked to mow the lawn or whatnot. So I must have obviously just been keen and helpful. And I also remember really disliking the cord of the weed eater and newly married, some of that new marriage money went to buying a gas-powered weed eater. I was like, okay, I'm getting a good one here, and it's still going 15 years in. We're talking about what kind of followers are we? Are we good followers? Because actually, I thought when it comes to what we hear all the time, it's not really about following, it's about leading, right? Organizations, businesses, families, churches need good leaders. There's no doubt about that. It makes a huge difference on all of those communities that we're a part of. And yet, when we look at the scriptures, we look at the New Testament, so much of the emphasis is about following. How is it? Why is that? Well, there's a sense that if we learn how to follow well, how to follow God well, we learn how to live well, and then that will just come out in leading well. So two questions for us to reflect on this morning is, what is your response to Jesus' invitation, follow me? What is your response to Jesus' invitation to follow me? Second question we're going to reflect on is, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? What's it mean to be a follower of Jesus? So if you got your Bibles with you, I want to invite you to grab your Bible, turn it open to Matthew 4, verses 18 to 22. Some of you, this will be first time reading this passage. Some of you, you'll have read this a lot of times. And really, kind of some of what we're going to talk about is going to be something you might have heard before if you've been in church for some time. But I'll tell you, maybe you might have heard of it, but if you actually live it, it is life transformational, and it is so profound if we live out what we're going to talk about this morning. So with that in mind, let's read the scriptures this morning. Matthew 4, 18 to 22. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Let's pray together. God, you know all the ways our focus has been this morning and just even to start the year. And yet, here's the scriptures before us, your words before us, to Peter, James, John, and Andrew, and to us, to follow you. May our eyes not be on ourselves or on each other, but may they be on you. Teach us what it means to follow you this year, Lord. In your powerful name we pray, Jesus. Amen. So, wrapping this into one sentence, this passage we just read, we could sum it up. What we're going to draw on is that Jesus casts a vision to follow him and to become like him. Jesus casts a vision to follow him and to become like him. And this is so relevant because this morning is the first week of our vision series to this call to equip, share, and follow. Let me read our vision together. This is, if you're new with us, what we've said is over the past 3 months and really in, over the past year, we've been preparing and seeking God and what new vision he would have for us. This is going to go on the wall. We're going to frame it. This is in process, but it's still unframed because if you're in here and we're asking that everyone who's saying, I'm going with North Star and where it's going, to sign their name. This is our vision. So we've got 164 names on here already over these next 3 weeks. Make sure you sign this if you are in. If you're a part of North Star Church and you're saying, I'm going where you're going. So the pen here, this is up during our lunch afterwards. Make sure you get your name on here. So let me read it. Our vision. We seek to follow Jesus as a unified, spirit-filled body of believers passionate about sharing God's love while living out our faith. We disciple and equip each other for ministry using the Bible as our foundation. We invest our God-given talents, time, and resources to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, anticipating a spiritual transformation in Quesnel, the Caribou, and the world. This is something we just in faith trusted. God, you're leading us to where we're going. And collectively, this group of people came up with this. And then we summed it up and we said, well, the essence of it is following Jesus, equipping each other, and sharing God's love. So we're going to spend 1 week in the next 3 weeks on each of these. So this week, we're emphasizing, what does it mean to follow Jesus? As we did all this vision casting, our focus is on following Jesus. So Jesus casts a vision to us to follow him and to become like him. So let's talk about this first element of what does it mean to follow Jesus. First element is following Jesus means living radically. It means living radically. We're gonna look at these disciples. Look at what they did. Jesus comes to them and he says, follow me, and you're a fisherman, and you're going to become a fisher of men. First thing you notice, verse 19, they leave at once. This is radical. They just drop their nets, and they go. So the second thing they leave is their livelihood. They leave their nets. They leave their jobs. I'll make you fishers of men. James and John just get out of the boat and go. Third thing we see is they leave their family. What's that about? How could God call us to that? Verse 22, John and James, they immediately left their boat and their father and followed him. Interesting is this account is in all four Gospels. And there's a different emphasis in each one according to how the writer is taking the story to call the people to do something. What is the emphasis? Because each gospel looks at Jesus from a little bit of a different angle, right? So in the Gospel of Mark, you see, oh, they didn't just like leave their dad alone and just say, sayonara. No, they had helping hands. You can read that in Mark 1. Okay, but this is radical. Think about this, what Jesus is calling them to in the context of how our world thinks. Let's talk about leaving at once. Well, what if Jesus says, follow me, our world says, do your own thing. It's about you. Discover who you are. No one has the right to tell you what to do. You only live once. Find yourself and be true to yourself. In essence, follow yourself. Leave your livelihood. What would they say? Jesus called to leave your livelihood. Well, in our work, really speaking to men here, is really where we find our worth and our success and our stuff. It's so easy to go like, this is where I find my true essence. And I can't just leave that. What would they say about leaving family? Family is the most important thing. The most important thing. Or even maybe you say, friends are the most important thing. Well, what does Jesus say? Jesus says, he teaches us to pray. What's he teach us to pray? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does he say about livelihood? He says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be taken care of. What's he say about family? Well, he says to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. And here's the thing. All you have to do is open the opening pages of the Bible. And there's this thing that we long for most, this human picture of flourishing, the Garden of Eden. Here's Adam and Eve in harmony with each other and with God and with creation. But they disobey God. They don't follow him. They don't follow his will. They rebel. And it creates isolation and alienation from God, with each other, with creation, and even within themselves. So if you get the right ordering down, if you love God with all your strength, all your soul, all your might, it's then when you become right with God that you truly learn how to become right with your family, your friends, creation, and ourselves. That's kind of my own story. Was just, I grew up in circles where we went to church and there was church season and there was baseball season. And that was just my life. And there came this point when I was 19 where somebody asked me a really good question and there were situations all going around me where I was kind of going, wow, look at God. Wow, look at what he's done in their life. And somebody said, what's your story? And I said, I don't really have a story. And it was a heart question. And it comes back to this thing about following Jesus. Because I really wasn't. I was following myself and what other people told me to do. It wasn't your will be done in Dave's life. It was Dave's will be done in Dave's life. And I made this moment and I surrendered to God. I didn't know what it was all going to involve. There's no way I could anticipate what was all coming, but I surrendered because it was the right thing to do. Because here was God, it's not right for me to live as if I'm God, as if I'm Lord of life. And really, if you cannot say, your will be done in my life, Lord, I will follow you, then you're not a Christian. That may be a disturbing thing to be said, but if you can't say, I follow you, then you're not following him, which is the essence of what being a Christian is. And then what happened was that the Bachelor of Commerce program that I was in, I kind of lost some interest in it, and there was this changing of my heart, and there was this very quick redirection into youth ministry. And I left home. I left Nanaimo, moved to Abbotsford, which actually felt like a pretty big move. And then I was finishing my Bible college degree in youth ministry. I did a little construction, and then this call to leave Abbotsford. So I left family, then I leave friends, go to Langley. Wow, okay. And then there's this whole livelihood question. God, how good is a Bible college degree? Like, how many people will actually hire somebody from Bible college? But it really wasn't about the width and breadth of how many jobs I could do. It was about following him, what he was stirring in my heart, what he was calling me to. And then, you know, 15 months ago, another call to leave family in the Lower Mainland, leave friends, go to Quesnel. And we just have such a peace about these things because we know that following God, when we follow God, life goes best. When we follow God, life goes best. How about in your own life? What's your response? Go back to this first question. What's your response to following Jesus? Are you like, how are you in comparison to when you were a kid? Do you have the same attitude? Have you grown? What's it like in your response? Because Jesus says, follow me, and I'll call you to something great. The world says, okay, Jesus says that, but first you gotta, you know, make sure you get a good job, take care of your family, get your RSPs down, make sure your parents who are aging, make sure they get in good assisted living, and then give a little bit to him, and that's a good. Jesus says, get out of the boat and follow me. Leave it all behind. Surrender, and you'll find what life is truly about. Second question is, how will you live radically in following Jesus in 2018? How will you radically follow him in 2018? How are you going to do that? Remember how we said about, if you actually do this, it's going to be life-transforming and profound. We talked about church budgets, and there's always this growth about God calling us to follow him in the next step. What's the next step for you in following him? We know you got to get out of the boat to respond to him. And then it's about following him. So that's the first part. What's it mean? How do we respond to Jesus, following Jesus? What's it mean to follow Jesus? Well, we've talked about following Jesus means living radically. It's radically different than the wisdom of this world. God calls us to himself. Second and final point, following Jesus means becoming like him. Following Jesus means becoming like him. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Implied in that is to become like I am. I am a fisher of men. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Jesus said, I give you the disciples a new commandment, John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. To follow him is to become like him. God is a God of compassion. Jesus was known for his compassion. To become like Jesus was to become more loving. It's implied, and it's kind of hard for us to fully get to read in between the lines, but wherever Jesus went, these guys went for like 3 years. And this is what it meant to be a rabbi's disciple. You were to take on his teachings, to become like him, to learn how to what his teachings are and then to live them out and teach others. And it's radical. It's leaving it all behind to become a disciple of Jesus. A Christian, in essence, the definition of a Christian is a mini Christ. A Christian, we are called to be mini Christs, to follow him, to become like him. My own definition of a disciple, as I've reflected on it over the years, is someone who's devoted to being with Jesus in order to become like Jesus. Someone who's devoted to being with Jesus in order to become like Jesus. I know some people who call themselves Christians, but in the end of the day, they aren't devoted. You don't see devotion in their life. And the challenge is also to be with him. You can't become like him if you're never with him. So what's this look like in our own lives? Well, to become like him, to be with him, it means that we're spending time with him. That is the essence of prayer. We don't fully have what the disciples had. They had Jesus in the flesh. They could follow him. They could see him. But we've been given his Spirit. The Spirit of Christ is in us if we have surrendered our will to him. And we get this huge resource in knowing God's heart. It's interesting looking at what they said about the disciples. Because you read the Gospels, these guys mess up all the time. They're just like you and me. And God meets them in the middle of their livelihood, and he says, come follow me. In the middle of family life, come follow me. And Acts 4, we have it here. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And here it is. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. People can tell when we've been with Jesus. Prayer, we often think that first thing is, well, what's prayer about? Prayer is about asking God for things or thanking him for things. Yeah, that's totally what prayer is about. Prayer is also about becoming like him. Parents, what are one of your major concerns for your kids? It's who they're hanging out with, right? Who are my kids hanging out with? Who are their friends? Why are we concerned about these things? Because those are people who influence them. And just like we're concerned about our kids and their friends because of the shaping and the rubbing off, same is true in prayer. When we go before God, when we pray to him, when we listen, when we come before him and read the scriptures, we're spending time with him. And in that process, we become more like him. And then we learn how to do it, not just in private time when we're alone, but how to live life prayerfully. When you're going through your everyday job and you're learning how to pray and ask God's heart and ask him questions, and his Spirit is there in you, and he will guide you and direct you. I think this is what it means to follow him. To live radically and to become like him. So what's this mean for us as a church? Because Jesus has cast a vision for us to follow him and to become like him. Well, we've done really amazingly in this process of coming together and creating a vision. And in faith, we're trusting that he's going to be leading us. And our vision of these words on the wall are not to be just words on the wall. Like when we said this is our vision is actually not to just say we follow Jesus, but to actually do it, to actually follow Jesus. If you could take as many like marriage preparation courses as you want, But to actually know how to be married, you gotta do it. You gotta live it. If you wanna learn how to play guitar, you can take as much like music theory as you want. But to play beautifully, to know how to play guitar, you actually have to practice. You have to actually do it. And this is really the call. Just do it. Like Will said last week, this call to live radically and to follow him and become like him. This become fishers of men. It's all implied in that I am a fisher of men. Become like me. And in our third week, the sharing God's love, we're really going to open that topic up more in what it means to be fishers of men. C.S. Lewis has we have this quote here from C.S. Lewis. Let's read it. The more we let God take us over, the more truly ourselves we become. Because he made us. He invented us. He invented all the different people that you and I were intended to be. It's when I turn to Christ, when I give myself up to his personality, that I first begin to have a real personality of my own. The more we let God take us over, the more truly ourselves we become. He's the creator. He knows our full purpose. I'll conclude with a story. There's this guy named John who had it all. He was the CEO of Pepsi. He had arrived. His family all lived by him. He had this super important job, great pay, and this visionary flew across the country to recruit him to join his company for this small company in the early 80s called Apple. And he had this conversation, and he invited him for the opportunity to be CEO of Apple. And he said, my family's here. Why on earth would I leave? I've got a great livelihood. Why on earth would I leave? And then Steve Jobs gave this soul-searching comment. He said, do you want to sell sugar water for the rest of your life? Or do you want to follow me and change the world? And he did. And I think we go, wow. Our world has changed from this company. MacBooks and iPods and smartphones. How many of you got a smartphone on you right now? That conversation, we go, wow. And it's a piece into a greater conversation that Jesus had with another guy named John and James and Peter and Andrew. And he said, come follow me. And we'll change people's eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are always in danger of familiarity with common scriptures that we've heard many times, and yet your words are not common. They are not common at all. They are powerful. It is a powerful invitation to get out of the boat, to live life differently than the world, and to find ourselves in a way that we never imagined, to be a part of something bigger and grander than we could ever imagine. We see these words, and we recognize the most important thing and how our lives will be evaluated will be if we got out of the boat and we followed you, and how diligently we followed you as followers of Jesus. God, give us courage and strength. I pray for those here that if there are barriers in hearts, in minds, in family relationships, in security and jobs to following you, that you'll give them courage to take those next steps. Whether it's following you getting out of the boat or having already been following you to follow you in new territories. We pray this as a church. God, we can't fulfill this vision without you, and that's why we dreamed it. And we, as we dreamed it, our faith was in you. We pray that as a church, we will be going places grander than we could dream because we're not following each other or ourselves. We're following the Lord of the universe, the King of Kings, the Alpha and Omega, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, God Himself. And we trust that you speak and that you lead and that you are leading us here and that you are leading us in 2018 as we envision as a church, as we budget as a church, as we're faithful in ministry as a church, as we dream new dreams as a church, as we dream far ahead dreams as a church, as new people come in and as people go out, that you will be Lord of this church, and we praise you for who you are and that you have cast this incredible vision for our lives. Give us strength to follow you, we pray. Amen.